Welcome back to the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is podcast, dare I say it, 444, the three fours. 444. It's still amazing to me that I have this many podcasts, but it is time to do a quick discussion of news events of the day, midweek, the week of what? What week is this? December 6th. 2015, because the news media is going crazy right now, and we're going to have to give you a little bit of perspective, hopefully. So we're going to do that in podcast 444. Yeah, so finally I relaxed because I went to yoga today, and I love going to yoga, and I love talking about yoga. Now, if you know me, you know I do a lot of yoga. I talk about it all the time, and I'm really excited these days because my practice has been really transformed by something called Hydrus. So I'm going to tell you about Hydrus. Hydrus, and before I even say this, I'm going to tell you, if you have a kid in athletics, if you are doing SoulCycle, if you're doing Orange Theory, if you're doing CrossFit, if you're doing yoga, if you're doing cross-country skiing, if you're doing anything that is physically demanding, you really want to hear this message. So Hydrus is a new high-performance beverage that uses exclusive nanosome technology to deliver critical electrolytes with unrivaled speed and effectiveness without the sugar in traditional sports drinks. Now, that's the official language that's on Hydrus's website that tells you what it does. But I can tell you from experience what it does. Hydrus has transformed my yoga practice. First of all, no sugar. So that's the main thing. But what it does is, because I'm fully hydrated, I can practice every day regularly, sometimes twice a day, without soreness or pain. In fact, I just did like 11 days and I had to force myself to take a day off because I didn't realize that I was getting tired. Power yoga, yoga sculpt with weights, you're in hot rooms with lots of people, everybody's sweating. And before, you know, you would get dehydrated really fast. But with Hydrus, before, during, and after exercise, my practice gets stronger and stronger and stronger and more fulfilling because now I'm actually practicing yoga. I don't have to deal with pain and soreness. And when you're in pain and you're sore, and you know this if you guys do this stuff, you get to the point where you're just kind of, and you're in pain. So you force yourself into poses as opposed to actually just falling into the pose. And honestly, I can't believe how much better and stronger and more fulfilling my practice is getting with Hydrus. I had a great conversation with my friend at Hydrus this week. I know that the Ohio State wrestlers are using this. I know that the top tennis athletes are using this. It's really an amazing hydration system. So I'll leave it at that. If you are interested in getting a sample, if you want to know more about Hydrus, all you have to do is click on the banner at the top of the BobDavisPodcast.com, HydrusPerformance.com. That takes you to their page, HydrusPerformance.com. And by the way, it's spelled HYDRUS, HydrusPerformance.com. It'll show you how to use it. It'll show you where to get it. You can order it. I know that a bunch of people from Minnesota have already ordered some, and I hope you enjoy it. Increased work capacity, no bloating. It reduces fatigue and cramping, improves recovery. I can vouch for all that. It uses no sugar, and there's no calories, and it's been tested with world-class athletes. You wouldn't believe some of the people that use this. Before, during, and after exercise, Hydrus. Join the performance hydration revolution. Check it out at HydrusPerformance.com. Thanks to the digital sponsor of the BobDavisPodcast.com, Alpha Systems. You've heard me talking about this. If you're a pilot, and we do have pilots listening to the Bob Davis Podcast before and after the air show, you want to be safe on takeoffs and landings. And I don't have a lot of time for a technical explanation, but pilots either add too much power or not enough power when they're trying to feel it out. And what the AOA does is allows you to use this indicator to know exactly how much power to add or cut back in terms of your landing. I'm not a pilot, but that's the best way for me to explain it. You guys know what I'm talking about. Bottom line is Alpha Systems, AOA, saves lives. They want to get it in your avionics package today. It's FAA approved. If you want to know more, click on the Alpha Systems banners for more information about Alpha's revolutionary angle of attack indicator at thebobdavispodcasts.com. So if you've been listening to the podcasts, you know that I go back and forth between really wanting very concise, organized podcasts so that I can get all the details out without him and hawing around and wandering off on tangents, which I tend to do when I'm just talking. On the other hand, I really like the way the podcasts sound when it's just me talking. And this seems to be a day that calls for just talking, and I'll tell you why. So we are now on the heels of Donald Trump's statements regarding, quote-unquote, the way that it's being portrayed media-wide is that we aren't going to let any more Muslims into America, and we're going to send the ones that are here home, which is not what he said. So I have the disclaimer that I have to issue in order to do this, and that is that I am not supporting anyone for president, Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian. I am going to be one of those people who will not tell you who to vote for. I think one of the biggest problems in this country is people expect to be told what to do, even if they say that they don't. They want someone to tell them what to do. And I'll give you an example. And this isn't to lean too hard on the people that sent this email, because I do appreciate emails. But somebody sent an email the night that I was it Sunday night that Mitch and I got together to do the podcast on political involvement and precinct organizing. And we had planned to do that a couple of different times the week before. Sunday was the perfect day to do it because I had already done two podcasts that outlined reaction to what happened in San Bernardino. I'd already done that podcast that I did the Sunday morning after the Paris attacks, in which I told you what will happen. And what will happen is there will be an enormous nervous reaction in the central nervous system of the world known as the media. And people will run out and they will say things, they will get heated, and they will make ridiculous statements which will be forgotten later on and nothing will be done. And I was absolutely right about it. And it extends all the way up to the president of the United States. It extends to political candidates. It extends to, you know, anybody that goes on television, most of the people on radio, most commentators, and a lot of people who actually should know better, who write for a living and write commentaries for a living, who can't control themselves from having emotional reactions to these things that happen, which are terrible. I'm not trying to say that they're not. Well, I already did that podcast, and I already told you that this was going to happen. And somebody wrote an email and said, you know, after the president's address, I guess it was Monday night, or maybe it was Sunday, I don't know. I guess it was Sunday night. We need a response to the president's speech. And it irritated me. I know it was meant well, but it irritated me because if you don't have your own response to the president's speech, then why do you expect someone to give you their response? What do you really expect someone to tell you what to think? If you can't come up with your own and do your own work and come up with your own responses to these things, then we're not going to make any progress in this country at all. And it really doesn't matter who's in charge, and it doesn't matter who's in Congress, and it doesn't matter who is the president or the vice president or any other position in government, because they're going to do whatever the hell they want to do, which was the whole reason for sitting there and talking for 50 minutes with Mitch about precinct organizing. And it doesn't shock me because I really don't want to interact with people on Facebook anyway, but it's typical that I did a little test on Facebook this weekend. I put out a page, a little note, after the president said we shouldn't give in to fear. I wrote a little thing on Facebook that said, have you given in to fear? And I had 42 responses or whatever from people with their own little snarky responses to the question, which are virtually all meaningless, useless responses. And then I put the podcast up that said, if you're pissed off at the president, this is what you need to do. And there were some likes, which is fine, but nobody dared say anything because they don't know anything about, you know, getting involved in politics and making a difference. They just want to be able to make little comments on Facebook about things like that. Or and then on my, I think it was on my you know, podcast business page, that what they used to call the fan page, I posted a picture of some guy in Portland that lives in a 727. That's his cabin up in the woods in Portland. And actually, it was really cool because it's got the full, I mean, the entire instrument panel and everything. Everything is all still lit up. And, it'll, obviously, this guy, probably some kind of an engineer or flight person or electrician. So he's got everything fired up. But a lot of comments on that where people were very excited about the guy with the 727. And somebody called me today and said, God, I've been watching TV and this is crazy. The responses to what's going on. Everybody's talking about what Trump said and what an idiot he is. And and how dumb he's going to go down in flames, and this is unbelievable what's going on. And once again, there were all sorts of characterizations about what he said that were not correct. Now, the reason I gave the disclaimer is, you know, I don't care if Donald Trump gets the nomination or gets to be the president or doesn't. I don't care if Hillary Clinton gets to be the nominee or the president or doesn't. Same with Bernie Sanders. Same with all of them. Somebody asked me yesterday what I thought of different presidential candidates and whatever. And I said, there isn't one of them, and there isn't one person serving in Congress or the House, or for that matter, on the Supreme Court, that I think very much of. It isn't that I hold high standards for those people. It's just that I think most of them can be bought in some way, shape, or form, and I don't trust any of them. And that's probably the healthiest point of view to have. This idea that there are statesmen only emerges in retrospect. The idea that someone is a statesman only emerges after 50 or 60 years of history, that we can say, we can look back and say, you know, Daniel Webster was a statesman. Well, if you were a contemporary of Daniel Webster, you might not have thought of him as a statesman. Or who was the senator from Illinois that was Everett Dirksen was a statesman, although people at the time in Illinois, some people didn't think of him so much as a statesman. So the idea that politicians are statesmen appear or develops only in retrospect. In the current time frame, they're all scoundrels. And I think that's the healthiest way to look at it, because here's the thing. The sovereignty is in the people of the country. It's not in the government. It's not in Congress. It's not in the president. In a representative republic, we appoint these people as representatives of, and it's our sovereignty that rules. So for us to be suspicious of them, for us to not trust them, for us to be even cynical about them is probably the healthiest way for us to maintain our sovereignty. But if you're waiting for someone to tell you on the media, to tell you what to think about what the president said, then you're in big trouble, because what you need to do is, and I haven't watched any TV today, and I don't intend to. I never do. And I talk about this all the time. While I was pan frying a steak today, literally while the steak was pan frying, so it's two sides, 4 minutes, while it's pan frying and the water's boiling for the coffee and the green beans are steaming with bacon in them and the butter and everything else, which, by the way, it was delicious, and the rice was ready to go. I simply went downstairs and printed up. This is while this was going on. So how long does it take to pan fry a steak? 7 or 8 minutes, and then another 5 or 6 minutes to cool it to room temperature so you can eat it. So in 15 minutes, I printed up all the stories that I've collected over the last week and a half, including today, read everything, and now completely up on what's going on in 15 minutes, didn't watch a lick of television, didn't listen to a lick of talk radio, don't have to, because I know what's going on, and I know what my responses to it are, and I know why. And I can go back to read Controlling the State by Scott Gordon or whatever. It's a question of what's the most efficient use of your time. And if you're using your time listening to hours and hours and stuff, unless it entertains you, unless it's interesting to you, like this or, you know, somebody else's podcast, what the hell? Why even bother listening to a 5-minute story repeated over and over again about Lindsey Graham telling Donald Trump to go to hell and that we need to have a campaign to tell Donald Trump to go to hell? Interesting choice of words. The fact that they're putting out a Bush acolyte is putting out a TV campaign that calls Bush a billionaire. Which is, these are pathetic attempts to discredit a guy who is burning down the house, okay? And that brings me to what he said. So this is the actual statement. This is a press release from Donald J. Trump for president on preventing Muslim immigration. Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States until our country's representatives can figure out what's going on. According to Pew Research, among others, there is great hatred toward Americans by large segments of the Muslim population. Most recently, a poll from the Center for Security Policy released data showing 25% of those polled agreed that violence against Americans here in the United States is justified as part of the global jihad, and 51% of those polled agreed that Muslims in America should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia. Sharia authorizes such atrocities as murder against non-believers who won't convert, beheadings, and more unthinkable acts that pose great harm to Americans, especially women. Now, this is his statement, women. Mr. Trump stated, quote, without looking at various polling data, it is obvious to anybody that the hatred is beyond comprehension, where this hatred comes from and why we will have to determine. Until we are able to determine and understand this problem and the dangerous threat it poses, our country cannot be the victims of horrendous attacks by people that believe only in jihad and have no sense of reason or respect for human life. If I win the election for president, blah, 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 blah. We're going to make America great again. This was his official statement, which set off a firestorm in the media about, here's an example. This is from NBC News. Trump calls for complete shutdown of Muslims entering the U.S. Now, that's not what he said. Remember that he said, until we can figure out what's going on, which actually I said, except what I said is we need to control Syrian immigration in particular until we can figure out what's going on. And I'll tell you why here very shortly. And it isn't because of Sharia, and it isn't because of the fact that some of these people are Muslims or all of them are Muslims. But that's a perfect example. This is the lead. Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump on Monday called for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States, the most dramatic response yet to a string of terror attacks that have Americans increasingly on edge. And it doesn't, you don't find out until the third paragraph that what he said was we need to shut down immigration to the U.S. until we know what is going on, which is, you know, to me, that's only reasonable. Well, this was met by a firestorm of condemnations from the chairman of the RNC, Rents Priebus, from Paul Ryan, who called it not what this country stands for, aside from the folks that said that it was unconstitutional, which, by the way, it is. I don't know about non-citizens, but you can't discriminate based on religion. So it's really important to understand all of this in the landscape of the fact that we are on the eve of an enormous primary race, which is pitting the establishment Republican leadership against an insurgent Republican candidate who is kicking their ass right now. You also have a situation where the Democrats are also in a roiling mess, even though there's not much attention being paid to it, because all of the attention and the spotlight is on Republicans right now because of the things that they're doing and the things that they're saying. And Donald Trump isn't the only one. So I'm going to talk about that. One thing is true in all this, and that is that things change. And it is true in real estate that the things change, and it's especially true these days in the North Metro. There are more buyers than sellers now for real estate. So if you're in the market to sell, and especially if you're in the market to buy, you need a real estate professional that understands the market. I've talked to you about prideofhomes.com for people who are subscribers and listeners to the Bob Davis podcast. Prideofhomes.com is a licensed real estate agent and real estate investor with expertise to share with you. So here's what I want you to do if you're interested in buying or selling in the North Metro, which, by the way, is growing by leaps and bounds. Reach out to Eric and Aram Lucero, husband and wife team with Luke Team Real Estate and prideofhomes.com. They are in the North and Northwest Metro, so Maple Grove, Plymouth, Rogers, Dayton, Albertville, St. Michael, Elk River, Champlin, and the North Metro 94 corridor. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero, their number is 763-433-9100. Buying or selling, you got to have real estate professionals with knowledge of the market so you can find a property that fits your needs or a buyer that can obtain the right financing and then is ready to go to close. As a husband and wife team, Eric and Aram Lucero can respond quickly. And when you combine that with the customer service at Luke Team Real Estate, believe me, you're good to go. Look, the North Metro, as I said, is growing very quickly with 94 and 610 expansion schools, access to both Minneapolis and St. Paul. So if you're looking to buy or sell property, contact Eric and Aram Lucero in the North and Northwest Metro, as I said. For real estate expertise, Eric and Aram Lucero in the North Metro, 763-433-9100, 763-433-9100. And thanks, Eric and Aram, for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. So why is Trump saying this, aside from the fact that he's trying to get the high ground, at least in political terms? I don't mean the moral high ground. I mean he's trying to gain altitude so that he can control the battle space, and the media is the battle space. So he's in control of the battle space right now because everyone's talking about him. His picture is on television. They're playing his statements over and over again. They're talking about his statements. I'm talking about him. You're talking about him. Everybody's talking about him. So this is the definition of relevance in today's political world, given today's tools, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or the older and now soon to be sclerotic cable television news effort and so forth. Why is he saying this in terms of what kind of reasoning, aside from the fact that he's using the polls to demonstrate the interest or the belief among non-American Muslims that people who come here should have the right to follow Sharia and should have the right to respond violently. You know, you can argue that. I don't think anything could have been worse for the Democratic Party and for the President of the United States than what happened in San Bernardino last week. And I'll tell you why. Aside from the fact that the rush to judgment was it was a workplace incident, it was a mass shooting, and treated as a mass shooting, it very quickly became clear that it was a jihadist attack and that it was probably sponsored by ISIS. It's very clear now, and every little bit of evidence that emerges shows that that is in fact what it was, that both of these people had been radicalized for a long time. It was deeply premeditated. It was a military-style attack, and that those people were in some way, shape, or form connected to either Al-Qaeda or ISIS, even though ISIS has claimed credit. Whether it is gun control or whether it is jihadists in America, it is clear that this is a problem in this country. And it's clear that most prominent Democrats went out immediately. They couldn't control themselves, from the Attorney General to Hillary Clinton to Bernie Sanders to the President of the United States, could not control themselves. They went out and they shot from the hip on what they thought it was, and they have been proven wrong at every turn. And that's devastating to a political party, and it's devastating to the president. I have no doubt that it's going to happen again, and I'll tell you why. First of all, there's evidence now that's clear, and it's in the New York Times. This is not something that's being reported by some crazy, like the Daily Caller. This is in the New York Times talking about how the investigation into the Paris terrorist attacks has widened to Europe and has come to the conclusion that some of the attackers and some of the network that supported the attackers are using refugee flows to hide their to get into Europe. By the way, I mentioned this before. This is an old tactic. It was done in Vietnam again and again and again. The Viet Cong hid in plain sight, and they hid in Vietnamese villages. Some of the Viet Cong were high South Vietnamese government officials. You know, it was a subterranean organization. They did it in Korea. Chinese communists did it in Korea by hiding among the civilian population. All through history, it's basically the Trojan horse. I mean, that's what it is. You bring people in through people that are being allowed to come through. You bring your people in there. There is a great article in the Daily Beast from Michael Weiss. He did an article in which, among other things, in fact, I'm going to save this because it's one of the best articles I've ever read in the foreign affairs arena on the nature of ISIS. And one of the things that he has learned in his research was that ISIS is extremely efficient and very good at spycraft. They're very good at concealing their people. They're very good at spy craft in the field, which they will literally call craft. People that in the intelligence community refer to it as craft. They are very good at concealing themselves. And also, I was shocked to read a whole paragraph on their infiltration techniques. One of the things that they will do before they go after a village is they will infiltrate the village for weeks beforehand, and people won't know, but the top people or people involved in the village will be people from the Islamic State. So the idea that they would send people through immigration and through holes in immigration isn't completely far-fetched. Moreover, it's also becoming clear, and we're starting to see testimony in front of Congress that suggests that, and I don't know if it's proven or not, but let's just leave it there, that suggests that the Islamic State has also figured out that we have a weakness in the marriage visa program. It's called the K-1 visa, and that we tend to, I don't want to say wave people through because that's an exaggeration, but the spousal visa program for American citizens is a little easier to get through. And that's exactly where the attacker's wife, Saeed's wife, came from, entered the United States on the visa, on the marriage visa program. I will give you also the intelligence report commissioned by the White House, according to Dianne Feinstein, sharply contradict the findings of that report, sharply contradict previous statements made by President Obama and other White House officials that the Islamic State has been contained by a program of U.S.-led airstrikes and the deployment of about 3,500 U.S. forces to train, etc. I also found a story in 15 minutes, that the Islamic State has a fair number, 2,500, I believe the number was, of U.S. armored personnel carriers, a mix of former Soviet and a substantial number of U.S. weapons that they're using, that they are somehow getting from these groups that we're supposedly arming, as well as from the Iraqi army, and some of it's brand new, which means it's been sold to them by the Iraqi army. We know that they are gaining strength in Libya, and we know that they are now, according to Fox News, training pilots in Libya at an airbase with small aircraft that they can use to blow themselves up. So while the intelligentsia in this country can continue to laugh and decry Trump and talk about how horrible of a person he is, he has managed in one fell swoop to get all of the established Republicans to side with the president, who made a ridiculous speech Sunday night, and to put himself out in front by simply stating, we need to hold up and control who comes into this country until we know what's going on. Moreover, I don't see what the big issue is that people saying, well, he used Roosevelt and he compared Roosevelt's rounding up of the Japanese to this. Now, there is a little article in the Star Tribune today that talks about a guy who I guess is Muslim, who is an American citizen, has been in the United States for half a decade, and went to a Vikings game over the weekend. And I don't have any confirmation that this actually happened, but he claims that somebody accosted him and demanded to know whether he was a refugee. And this guy ended up going and getting security, and they detained the guy, and the guy apologized, and they didn't throw him out of the game, and he felt frightened and scared. This was exactly the reason that President Roosevelt, one of the greatest progressives who ever lived, used to round up Japanese on the West Coast and put them in internment camps. He did it and said he was doing it because it was for their own safety. So, this kind of thing, maybe Roosevelt, if he was here today, might round all the Muslims up and put them in a camp. Okay. And I'm not for that. I'm not saying I'm for that. I'm just saying Trump is not that far off in what he's saying, in the sense that this is something that is not new to America, and certainly not new to Democrat Americans, since Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the greatest Democrat in history, after Pearl Harbor, rounded the Japanese up after they attacked us at Pearl Harbor in America, much really, I think, to the loss of the American war effort, and literally put them in the camp for their own safety. It was a terrible thing, and we've had to pay those people reparations as a result. But I'm not so sure that when you actually look at what's going on here, that someone like Trump saying we need to get a handle on this is completely out of line. Now, why am I talking about this? People say, well, what's the response to the president and everything? There is no response to people who believe that if we round up all the guns and take guns away from people and take away our right to protect ourselves and take away our right to say what we think, as in Loretta Lynch's statements about putting people in jail that made comments that she didn't like or that they consider to be dangerous comments about Muslims in jail. When you take away people's Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, and Second Amendment rights, then there is no freedom. That what you're doing is you're contravening the sovereignty of the people to their own basic human rights, their God-given unalienable rights. Okay, so that is not cool. That's their position. So there's nothing more that can be said to that. Whenever something like this happens, when somebody says something, you have to understand it's politics, and you can't judge politics from the paradigm of being for or against a candidate, because once you do that, you lose your objectivity, and then you don't understand the news. I understand why Trump is saying what he's saying. There's some truth to what he's saying. There's also some hyperbole, a fair amount of hyperbole to what he's saying. It isn't anything that hasn't been said before in America from a different side of the fence many years ago, 75 years ago. So it doesn't strike me as being unusual. What's interesting is the political correctness has reached the point where and this is why people have a problem with moderate Republicans, because they are afraid to join into the fight. You know, Trump doesn't have anything to lose, so he will join into the fight. And he will say things that the rest of these people won't say. And this is why they are losing their power. And what you're watching, and this now I'm talking about the political stuff. I'm not really even talking about what he said. What you're watching now is you're watching the self-destruction of the Republican establishment that is terrified of Donald Trump, and the Republican industry of electing people president that he has basically eschewed because he has his own money and he hasn't spent any money on campaign because he has a media campaign that is highly effective. And they just don't know what to do. And it's because I've been saying this for years. It is the Republican establishment that elected George W. Bush and nominated Romney and nominated McCain and Palin. It is the Republican establishment that led us into perdition in Iraq, the neoconservative Republican establishment, the Lindsey Grahams of the world and the John McCains of the world. And it is the Republican establishment that expects talk radio and Fox News and everybody else to sing from the hymnal and never question what they're doing or saying. And it's the Republican establishment in particular that has created an industry around electing these people. With Trump doing what he's doing, they are out. And I'll tell you something. They're all saying now things. First of all, he's being compared to Hitler, which is a huge victory for Trump. Secondly, you have people like Chris Christie saying, we're not going to have any reality television in the White House. This coming from a guy who became known for attacking people, vociferously and intensively and passionately at his rallies for disagreeing with him on YouTube. Remember the videos, the Chris Christie videos that would appear on YouTube all the time? He is the biggest media whore of all of them. He's just mad because Trump is getting all the media space because he's better at it than Chris Christie. By the way, this was a person whose anger and frustration and intensity finally resulted in closing a bridge and causing the deaths, I believe, of some people that were in an ambulance, or the possible deaths. In other words, they could have died in an ambulance that was trapped in a traffic jam because he got mad at someone who was a political opponent, and his vitriol and his venom extended into his staff. So Chris Christie should talk. But see, what's happening is all of these guys, Priebus, Christie, Ryan, all of the establishment is literally having a hissy fit because this guy has a 36% share of the current field, according to one poll, and has a huge lead among all Republicans. And if people vote as the polls show, I'm not saying they will, but if they do, if they vote for him in New Hampshire, I think Cruz is probably going to win Iowa. But if Trump wins Iowa, if he wins New Hampshire, if he wins South Carolina, if he wins on Super Tuesday, he is going to be the nominee of the Republican Party. And when he is the nominee, he is going to have to demand that all these people at the top of the food chain in the Republican Party resign, because they'll ruin him if he doesn't. And he's not dumb enough to let those people run things. The day of the Republican moderate running the Republican Party is fast coming to a close. And all of you who are moderates should be on notice of this, whether you are the Speaker of the House of the state of Minnesota, or whether you are a county commissioner someplace, or whether you are just some political operative. Your day is coming, and it's coming fast. And if Trump brings it, then I would applaud that. Now, just very quickly, I want to, there's been a lot of conversations about foreign policy and domestic policy associated with foreign policy with this whole situation in the past week. And it's low energy. It's hard to process it. It makes people very angry. And it also, it's a great issue for generally for people on the conservative side. You know, all this talk about gun control and the situation of not giving into the fear and all the stuff the president said Sunday night. is their version of trying to spin the issue in their favor, but it doesn't speak to their favor. They're, when the polls come out about who is best potentially at national security, this is going to be shown to severely hurt the Democrats. They have miscalculated. And I'm just going to say this very quickly. There are places in this country, generally not city centers. So we're not talking about Los Angeles. We're not talking about Hollywood and Bel Air, California. We're not talking about the Gold Coast in Chicago. We're not talking about Park Avenue in New York or Kenwood in and Crocus Hill in St. Paul in Minneapolis. We're talking about Georgia. We're talking about Virginia. We're talking about northern Minnesota. We're talking about northern Wisconsin. We're talking about Milwaukee and Green Bay. We're talking about southern Illinois. We're talking about Kentucky and Tennessee. And we're talking about states that have been considered battleground states recently because the Democrats have been able to organize better and get more of their people out. So Virginia has a Democrat governor, for example. And we're not even talking about Democrat bellwether states. But when the president goes out and starts talking about gun control, what that's doing is that's labeling the Democratic Party as against guns. And these places that I mentioned, whether it's Virginia, Georgia, Florida, rural northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, places like that, these places are places where people as have guns, and it's part of their culture. It's part of the hunting culture. It's part of the culture of most rural areas that people are armed in some way, shape, or form. And if you're on the fence, if you're an independent voter in one of those regions, and this is what you're seeing Democrats present as a solution to an attack on civilians by what I would consider to be paramilitaries sent here by the Islamic State, they are not going to vote for you. You're going to lose those votes in those places. And Democrats cannot rely on Hennepin and Ramsey County and Bel Air and Hollywood and Los Angeles County and Cook County and places like that to elect a president. They can't rely on inner urban areas to elect president of the United States. They will lose the presidency no matter who the Republicans nominate if they keep up in this particular direction. So I believe that the Democratic Party will probably tell the president and some of the other leaders to shut up. And you'll see the top Democrat candidates start to change their position when people start voting, because I think people see through this stuff. And I think that's really important. So you've got that going on all this week. And I just want to finish very quickly by saying that's an issue that benefits the right side of the political spectrum. But the real danger of another event occurring, and I'm not talking about another terror event, but you know, if you are reading the financial pages and if you're watching the commodities markets and you're watching China, I just very would quickly ask you to draw your attention to those issues, because the chance of an economic I hate to say catastrophe, because that's really not the word, but for the economy to be brought front and center in this election is really strong. And right now it looks like foreign policy and terror and domestic safety is going to be the primary issue in this election. And this has benefited Trump, and it's benefiting Republicans right now. But I think that what's going to happen is it's very possible that we will see a further collapse in commodities. We may see a collapse in China of some kind, and we may see the United States enter a recession. If that happens, then by this time next year, the conversation is going to be about the economy. And for those of you that want to have arguments, this is the time to start reading up on economic stuff, because more than likely, and as I've said before, this president is not going to escape office without a calamity, either in foreign policy or in domestic policy as it pertains to the economy. Because, very quickly, my sense is that Bill Clinton was able to get out of office without having a calamity, even after he refused to assassinate bin Laden, which would have been the right move. He was able to get out of office, A, because he was lucky, but also because he was competent at managing the government. This president is not that competent, and the people running the government are not that competent. They're not as competent as the Clinton administration. And as a result, I don't think he's going to escape office without catastrophe in foreign policy, if we haven't already had that, and a catastrophe in the economy much worse than what we're seeing today. If that happens, then you can look to see the Democrats trying to twist the economic issue into inequality, and we need to have more stimulus, and that's a more powerful issue for Democrats. So if you're on the right side of the political spectrum, it's time to study up and have your responses ready, because it's going to count big time this time next year. Well, I'm glad that I did not write this whole thing out, because I think sometimes it's good to just get all this stuff out and talk it out, and hopefully it will leave you. I mean, this is just information that I collected tonight I collected over the last few days. A lot of stuff I just threw away. But if you function that way in terms of getting your information rather than watching this insane nonsense on television, you're going to be a lot calmer and you're going to be a lot happier. And you won't have to do yoga in order to maintain your sanity. But the reason I get to do yoga is I get to talk about hydras as the result of yoga. And I've told you all about it. I just will again restate, if you have kids in athletics, if you're doing CrossFit or Orange Theory, or you're doing cross-country skiing, if you're running, if you're doing anything that, you know, where you sweat a lot and you need to be hydrated, you may think you're being hydrated because you're drinking water. But I've talked to so many people who have gone to start using hydras and have been told by their doctors before they started using hydras that they were dehydrated, even though they drink a lot of water. They can't believe the change. It will make a huge difference in what you do. And I could tell you stories about it all day long. I won't. Just go to hydrusperformance.com. That's H-Y-D-R-U-S, hydrusperformance.com. Click on that banner at the top of the Bob Davis page. It takes you to their page. You can get free samples. You can order online. I already have people that have ordered for their kids in wrestling. It's great for weight cuts, and it's great for any kind of athletic practice that you do. You will be able to do more. So that's about all I can say. And thanks, guys, for sponsoring Hydrus. And thanks to the husband and wife real estate team up in the North Metro with Luke Team Real Estate and PrideOfHomes.com, Eric and Aram Lucero. Things are changing in the North Metro. So now we're into a more of a buyer's market than a seller's market. But if you're looking to sell, if you're looking to buy, you need people who really understand the market. And that's why I'm advertising Eric and Aram Lucero to subscribers and listeners of the Bob Davis podcast. Reach out to Eric and Aram. They can help you if you're looking to move up into the North Metro, which is growing by leaps and bounds. This is the time if you're going to do it. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100. If I didn't mention interest rates, I should. They are expecting an interest rate increase before the end of December. So you probably, if you're thinking about buying, this is the time to lock it in and talk to these guys. 763-433-9100. 763-433-9100. Thanks, Eric and Aram Lucero and Luke Team Real Estate for sponsoring the Bob Davis podcasts. Well, thanks for listening to podcast 444 on Stitcher.com, iTunes, or TuneIn, or BlogTalkRadio.com. And these are, you know, all different places to find the podcasts. Of course, iTunes works great with iPhones. Stitcher and TuneIn work pretty good with Android devices. So does TuneIn work with iPhones as well. Stitcher works with iPhones as well if you want to use it that way. So, you know, those are just different places to get it. Also, don't forget the syndicated radio show, which is available at gcnlive.com, which is not audible here. It is not on this website, and it is not something you can subscribe to. You have to go to GCN Live to hear it. And thank you for liking, sharing, and favoriting and following on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, where I am bdavis7843. I want to thank everybody for their donations of $5, $10, $200, as much as you want to give, $10,000, which go into funding the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. And we're getting ready to go out and cover the Iowa caucuses February 1st, and then heading down south through the Mid-South to South Carolina and Florida. These are very, very important early primary states. I went west last summer, so I'm going to go west. I'm going to go east, rather, you know, to cover these early primary states. And we're getting ready, getting loaded up. And this is going to be for diesel fuel and coffee and Komodo Dragon coffee, of course, and beef jerky, which is what I eat on the road. So it's kind of weird. You'll hear all about it in the podcast on the road. But thanks for your donations at thebobdavispodcast.com. You just click on the big yellow donate button, and I really, really appreciate it. Thanks for listening to podcast 444 at thebobdavispodcast.com. Right off the page, if you want, you can subscribe right off the page. And thanks for all the comments on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Thankity, thank, you know, and all that stuff. Thanks for listening to podcast 444. Oh, to live.
Sugar Mountain, with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there.